Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And now we are changing the tone quite dramatically. I'd like to welcome, wait for it, Lisa Trudeau and Aidan Scott.
Hello.
Hey,
hi.
How are you?
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so let me just do this properly. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, a prolific and influential composer of the classical period, was born in 1756. Despite his short life, he died at the age of 35. His rapid pace of compositions resulted in more than 800 works of virtually every Western classical genre of his time. It is not surprising then that over 248 years since his birth, he still captures the public imagination. So, currently showing at the Peter Turin's Monte Cassino Theatre, Peter Schaffer's Amadeus is theatre at its gripping best. It is a powerful, thrilling story about passion, rage, jealousy, and vengeance. And I'm delighted to have, as I said, the highly talented Aidan Scott and Lisa Trudeau, who play Mozart and his wife, Constanza,
yeah.
as my guests now. Welcome, Aidan and Lisa.
Thank you so much.
Wow, first stage in 1979. Amadeus has been going for quite some time. Well, Amadeus generally has been going for quite some time. What is the allure?
It's just the play has existed for so long and has been put on so many times because I think it, in my opinion and in many other people's opinions, it's one of the greatest plays of the 20th century. It speaks to such a human story between two ordinary human people that just happen to be extraordinary. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart is prolific in his own right, and he, you know, is with us today. But at the same time, he was also just a man dealing with things that people deal with. And to see that on stage and the juxtaposition between being ordinary and extraordinary at the same time, I think, is incredible to watch, especially when it's live. Because you're able to watch this person's life just before your very eyes.
Mm. Lisa?
I think it's interesting to see just jealousy, everyday jealousy, portrayed in such a dramatic way. We all have someone that we can think about that's doing something in our field that we wish we could kind of compete with them on their level, and we just can't because some gifts are just God-given, and some people are just really, really amazing.
So genius. I mean,
yes.
Okay, that's a defining point, because it says that he was very difficult, Mozart. He was, I don't know if you want to tell me a little bit more about the man, Mozart.
Yeah, I mean, so it's such a cool play, because you're introduced, and the play kind of begins, and it's this dramatic kind of light scene, and, you know, you don't know what's about to happen. And Salieri, who's the protagonist of the production, actually says, I am going to tell you the story of Mozart. And you're like, oh my gosh, here he comes. And then he rocks up on stage, aka me, with Lisa as his wife. And they literally play a cat and mouse game. And the audiences are just like, wait, what? This is Mozart? I didn't realize.
The serious musician.
The serious musician that I've learned about my whole life and listened to his dramatic music. He's literally just a boy that wants to have fun and that loves fart jokes.
And I think that's where my character Constanza really struggles, because they're in a relationship and he kind of refuses to grow up with her, and she wants to have they become parents, and she needs the support of him and financial support, and he won't do what's necessary for his family, and he kind of wants it his way or the highway. And I think we see that a lot with musicians now, even people who come to fame really young and just don't really grow up, really get out of it.
It's
Peter Pan syndrome.
The whole Peter Pan syndrome of, like, you know, you have these geniuses and they just kind of, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the psychology behind it is, but they just don't grow up. And it's very cool to, first of all, play that, but I think it's even cooler to watch.
Mm. You talk about it being alluring all these years later, and the story being alluring. You talk about jealousy, but also the whole passion, the rage, the vengeance. Mm. It has every kind of ingredient that you need for a good story.
Yeah, big time.
It's interesting also, I mean, Salieri talks about how his first sin is gluttony, and in its own way, I think the play deals with all the kind of seven deadly sins.
Yeah, true, I haven't thought about that.
Which is interesting, and I think it's something that everyone can kind of relate to as well. Like, we can see ourselves in all the different sins portrayed. And that's what makes it difficult to have Salieri as our main character, because you kind of want to root for him because we see ourselves in him, but he's also just such a nasty guy.
And you want to root for Mozart, but then at the same time you're like, this guy is such a too bad.
We are going to, Craig, can we just, to get everybody in the mood, just play a little bit of Mozart just to get us in the mood.
Ooh.
That, of course, was Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik, and we are playing it because we are talking about the play Amadeus that is screening on at the Peter Turin Monte Cassino Theatre until the 7th of April. And in the studio with me, I have Lisa Tadu and Aidan Scott, who play Amadeus and his wife Constance.
This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
And I'm talking to Lisa Tadu and Aidan Scott, who are playing Amadeus and his wife Constance in the play Amadeus. I nearly said movie, because it was a play, then it became a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It won an Oscar for Best Picture, and it is a play again. So it's been going on since 1979 between this. And I have to say, before I left the office, I was telling my colleague, I was discussing this topic, and she was like, oh, I love the movie Amadeus. I've seen it 7 times.
Yep.
Okay, so what is it like for you, two young actors, to be performing in something that has such a big, long history?
It's huge. I mean, for the movie, they had a massive budget, and they also changed the script quite a lot. They had a bunch of people, a bunch of extras, I mean, amazing costumes, amazing sets. In South Africa, we don't really have that luxury. Lucky for us, we did have an amazing costume team who made the coolest costumes I've ever gotten to perform in. We have an amazing set designer, so we have all those kind of elements, but just downscaled a little bit. Our cast consists of 8 people and not the original, 30?
So originally the play is done with about 30, 32 cast members.
Wow.
And what's really lovely about this particular production is that we scaled down to 8.
Mm.
8 actors kind of doubling up in different parts. But what that does is it adds so much to the story, because you're able to actually kind of isolate what the story is and watch it happen before your very eyes without the flourishes of a revolving set and 30 people on stage, and you're really able to kind of just listen to what the words are saying and what the actual story is, which I don't think has ever been done ever with a group of 8 people, which is incredible.
So it takes place in Salieri's memory and in his mind, and it's kind of, we then become the ghosts that haunt him, and the story becomes a haunting tale of his guilt and his jealousy. Which is beautiful, because then we're all on stage the whole time and you see all the costume changes happening, and the kind of over the top moments are also justified because that's how he remembers it, which is really cool.
So 2 comments. One is, I'm proudly South African, and I think our theatre is possibly one of the best in the world, and there cannot be anything greater than the immediacy of a play as opposed to a movie. And I speak to actors quite often, and they always talk about every performance being different.
Yeah.
There being a connection between the audience and the actors that makes each performance unique and live.
And we feel the audience. I mean, if the way that the audience reacts, you are complicit in the story, because we're doing the story for people to see. And so it's a beautiful kind of exchange between us in real time and how the audience is responding. And if you laugh or if you sigh or if you cry, that informs how we are going to do the next steps of the production, which makes theatre so incredible. And just to your point on South African theatre being incredible, this is what people around the world say. When we take shows to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, or we take shows to New York, which we have done, people respond in a way that they haven't responded before. And I'm not too sure why that is, because, I mean, you have the Brits and, you know, doing impeccable work, but there's something deeply emotional about South African stories that I think all South African actors have. And I think people respond to it in a very different way. And it's very exciting to be a part of.
Mm. And I think talent. I just think we have a lot of raw talent in this country. And I'm guessing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you want to be an actor in this country, it's not for fame and fortune.
No.
It is absolute passion, because you cannot imagine doing anything else.
I think if there was anything else that I was remotely interested in, I would be doing that instead. But this is it.
Yeah,
it's amazing. The feeling that you get when you perform, talking about it afterwards with your castmates, it makes me all warm and fuzzy.
Yeah. Well, it certainly changed my life when I was 6 years old. And I hope and I know that that theatre does change people's lives. And I think that's why we do it.
So let's just spend 5 minutes just going into who you are and what you've done. And I admitted during the advert break that I have seen a kissing booth.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So, I mean, I started out, you know, I was like, what am I going to do? And I became an actor and I studied a little bit. And, you know, in South Africa, a lot of international productions shoot. And so I was lucky enough to be a part of several cool productions, Kissing Booth being one of them, where I played, you know, quite a small character. And unfortunately in South Africa, that is what you're kind of left to, is taking bit parts. But 2 years ago, I was cast in a really cool Netflix series as one of the leads. It was called One Piece, which came out last year, August. And that was really a shift in my career, because I could see that people were taking me seriously, and not only myself, but taking South African actors very seriously. And now, Lisa can attest to this, we are being seen for really big parts within really big shows. So it's just exciting to do and be a part of.
And Lisa, I'm just looking through your CV very quickly now. Actor, author, illustrator, makeup artist. You studied at UCT. And you had received the prestigious Brett Goulding Memorial Cup in 2022. Tell me about that.
It's kind of the acting award at the end of the year. The people who get the highest mark. I think it's just because I was in class all
of
the time.
Of course you did.
Such a brown noser. But yeah, I think I try to find as many creative avenues as possible. There are unfortunately lots of times when I'm not acting, so I'd like to fill that time by telling stories in different ways, whether it be makeup or writing or drawing or whatever that is. It's just nice to keep the hands busy.
Because you also are a children's book writer.
Yes. So my first book is coming out soon. It's called Dot to Dot. And that actually, I wrote that during COVID. And it's just a sort of positivity book for children to feel more positive about themselves and their appearance.
It must have been awful being an actor during COVID. I actually think out of everybody in the world that was affected, you guys were affected the most.
It was bad, but having said that, I mean, to come back to what Aiden was saying about being seen for bigger parts, I think self-taping kind of became a bit of the norm before COVID, but during COVID it was, and after COVID certainly, you self-tape, you send through self-tape auditions more than you go into studios.
Because usually you'd be called into a room to do an audition, but now after COVID, what they started doing is they started saying, okay, do a video of the scene, and you would send that off to New York, and you'd send it off to London, which was incredible.
And now you get briefs for the most amazing projects, and you can just don't have to fly anywhere to do anything. You can just tape it in your living room and then send it through and hope for the best.
I actually got into voiceovers because there was no work. So I bought myself a microphone, I think one of these guys, and I put it in my closet and I did some soundproofing and I started selling my voice because that was the only thing that I could do. So it's, yeah.
It result, if you're creative, then I suppose COVID was a brilliant time to explore that creativity.
It was, yeah. Hey, yeah, in hindsight.
And also, did you get a sense of community, an actor's kind of sense of community that you hadn't had previously?
No, I actually think the opposite. I think it was very isolating. I wish I could say there was a community, but it was really, and I think with all different professions, you were kind of left blindsided. And you were like, jeepers, this is, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And some people really struggled. But coming out of it, that's when the community, I think, started coming together.
I actually spoke to an actress the other night after our show who said that she's really struggling with finding a community. I think the only, in the acting world, I think the only time that we really do find that is when we're rehearsing and when we're doing a play. Yeah. I mean, now our cast is so close, and the previous show we did together as well, the cast got super close. And if those connections stay, then that's great. But I think it's difficult because we're all also kind of competing with each other in a way. It's a weird thing.
That was Midsummer Night's Dream that Lisa and I actually did together as well that I keep forgetting about, which was Maynardville in Cape Town. And we came to Joburg as well, which was fun. Yeah. It was a cool show.
You talk about being a family during the show. Mm. What is it like? I mean, because it's late nights, early morning, stressful rehearsals. How well do you get to know each other? How professional is everybody on the set?
This production, we all love each other. It's an amazing group
really
of people.
It's really nice.
We have people at the age of 20, 30, 40, and 50 kind of all together, but sharing the same kind of common goal. And I think we're all very good friends.
And it's just goofy and we joke with each other and no one takes anyone too seriously.
Okay, we're going to take our last live reads and then an advert break, and then we'll be back.
This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherie Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
And I'm talking to Aidan Scott and Lisa Trudeau, and they are respectively Mozart and his wife in the show Amadeus that is currently on at the Peter Turin's Monte Cassino Theatre until the 7th of April. Let me just give you some of those details. Okay, performances are Wednesdays to Fridays at 7:30. That's PM, obviously. Saturdays at 3:00 and 7:30, and Sundays at 3:00. The ticket prices range from 180 Rand and to 300 Rand, and the tickets are available by web tickets, selected pick and pay outlets, or by calling the theatre box office on 011-511-1988. And actually, I quite enjoy phoning Peter Turin's theatre because you get almost immediate person-to-person.
Really? That's amazing.
And for certain people in the community who are over, you know, the age of 12, we actually like to speak to people.
Yeah, I certainly do.
As opposed to click, 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 why is this not working? I can't actually figure out which seats are really available because I'm a bit colorblind and the light blue and the dark blue are starting to blur.
Oh, man.
So there's always that. And let's talk a little bit about the Peter Turin Theatre. And we haven't mentioned yet that Alan Committee is in the play.
Yes, he is. And he's producing the play as well. It's actually one of his bucket list productions that he really wanted to put on. And he made it happen, which is so cool for the rest of us because we get to perform in Amadeus with the amazing team that he's put together.
Yeah, he's an incredible comedian and has been entertaining audiences since he was 20 years old with comedy. And so people really know who he is. But he's also an exceptional actor. His job is to be a comedian, but then what he does when he's not doing comedy is he tries to bring, and he does bring, the best kind of theatrical productions to South Africa, because that's what he cares about. Theater doesn't make a lot of money in terms of profits, but that's what he wants to do. And so he did Virginia Woolf, Edward Albee 2 years ago. He's done Richard III at Maynardville, and this year he's doing Amadeus, which is incredible. And he's very funny. He's very, very funny, and he makes me laugh quite a lot. But he's also just a very good actor. It's very nice to work with him.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. And I think often in South Africa, people try to put on lighter shows because I think comedy sells a lot better than serious shows.
We need it. Let's be honest. Okay, let's just take a break.
We need it. But then when people like Alan Committee give actors the opportunity to perform in pieces like Virginia Woolf or Amadeus Now, and give audiences the opportunity to see works like this that aren't put on often at all, because, like I say, most people want to try to at least break even with a lighter show. It's really cool, and the response is actually, it's overwhelmingly good.
Interesting watching audiences. I love watching audiences and how they respond, and I remember coming out of the first show that we did and just being like, wait a second, was that good? Because the audience wasn't... What were they doing? And our director, Jeff, said they were gobsmacked. Like, yeah. You come out of it being like, I don't know what to do with myself. I mean, I remember my mum watching, and my mum doesn't cry for anything. And I came out into the foyer and she was just in tears. And I'm like, what's wrong, mum? She's like, I don't understand. I need to put my world back together because that has just ripped me off the planet. And I think that is why theater is so important, because I know she's not the only one that feels like that. And I've met multiple people who have felt so moved by what the play is. And I think that's just an incredible thing to be a part of. And it makes me so happy.
I also think, I mean, you see Alan's face and his name on the poster and you think it's going to be a bit of a comedy special. And then you get there and it's all these people in period costume and it's suddenly quite serious, and people are a little bit taken aback. They don't really know what to do with that. And then halfway through the show, it's always after interval, people come back and they're so ready to laugh, and they find the joy and the humor in it, which is great. It's really nice to jolt them a bit and to bring them back.
And in the final scene, I mean, it's quite a dramatic scene, and I've been in a lot of productions before, and in this particular final scene, you can hear a pin drop. Like, it is so quiet. And people are just listening with such intensity, and you can feel that as an actor, and you're just kind of moved by it. And I think this play and the production in particular moves at such a pace that you can't think. You're carried by the story, and I don't know a lot of plays that can do that. And I think that's a testament to the 8 people on stage at all times. Because there's no break. It's just moving.
There's no break.
Well, no, there's an interval, but there's no break in between scenes. So you go from one scene and it revolves into another scene and it just carries you. Mm. It's amazing.
So you have already been on Alive for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks, yeah.
Right, yes. And you've got 2 more weeks to go. You're halfway through.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
For the Joburg run, and then four more weeks in Cape Town.
And then four weeks in Cape Town.
And it's quite a long run.
Mm.
Do you
get tired halfway through?
I don't know. What do you think, Elise?
I get tired. I get tired. I'm tired the next day, but then you get there and everyone's happy to see you, and then you feel excited, and then you do it again, and it's fun, and then you get tired the next day, and you just keep going.
Have you ever, either of you, forgotten your words?
I have, yeah, on multiple occasions.
Yeah, but it is very bad at that.
No, I'm not so bad.
No, he's great.
Yeah, I think we both have had tiny slip-ups, but that's the exciting thing about theatre. Sometimes someone's talking to you, like Lisa's talking to me on stage, and I'm like, I need to respond to you, but I don't know what I'm about to say, so I'm just going to hope that I say something, and then your mouth just takes over and says the line. It's very scary.
So it must be quite a relief when your mouth...
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, Craig is indicating that we do have to wrap up.
Cool.
I've really enjoyed chatting. I'm looking forward to it. I am coming sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Amazing.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you. And thanks for having us.
Shall I just give those details out quickly?
Yeah,
one
sure.
More time. Okay, so that's Amadeus at the Peter Turin Monte Cassino Theatre until Sunday the 7th of April. Performances are Wednesdays to Fridays at 7:30, Saturdays at 3 and 7:30, and Sundays at 3. And you can get your tickets at web tickets, selected pick and pay outlets, or, as I prefer to do, calling the theatre box office on 011-511-1988. And if you don't have those details, you're welcome to drop me a message and I will repeat that. I'd like to thank all of you for joining. I'd like to thank Craig for producing. If there's anything on the show you'd like to comment on, you're always welcome to send me an email on charisse@sajd.org. Next week is the public holiday, so I'll be back with you in 2 weeks' time. So until we meet again, I wish you all Shabbat Shalom and Chag Purim Sameach.